All right, we're recording, so nobody say anything crazy. All right, it's going on the internet. I think also tonight, I think this class, and what I want to talk about tonight, I'm glad we got a little bit of extra time than what we usually have, is a very important thing. It's an important issue, and the title of our lesson tonight is Why Do Bad Things Happen? Why do bad things happen? And this is something we talk about pretty often here at this church, and I think we need to. I feel pretty strongly. I've heard sermons on this, and it's definitely convinced me. And if I wasn't convinced before, I was after hearing the sermons about kind of what church is about and what we are supposed to be doing and really what a pastor is supposed to be doing. And I heard some messages. I guess we went to a conference a few years ago, and it was about suffering. It was dealing with the issue of suffering. And a pastor got up and shared, and he's from a very large church, but he was saying that one of the biggest roles in a pastor's ministry is to prepare his people, prepare the church for suffering. Okay? And to deal with suffering from the pulpit, from, you know, in individual conversations, in classes, things like that, to where people are prepared for when suffering happens. Okay? Because I'll be honest with you, if the members of this church, now people can make their own decision on what they want to receive or what they want to reject as far as what's said, but if I do not prepare this congregation for suffering, then I've failed. Basically, if you go through your Christian life and suddenly a tragedy comes or something happens, your circumstances change and you have no foundation upon which to process that and to deal with that, and I've not laid that foundation with God's Word and with theology and with teaching, and it's because you don't know any better, then I've really failed. Now, if it's because you're not trusting what you've heard, then that's on you. But if I'm not going over it, then it's on me. And so I do feel a pretty serious responsibility for dealing with things. And the problem of suffering is one of the biggest problems for people who are Christians and people who are not Christians. I think it's one of the biggest objections to Christianity is if God is all-loving and all-good and all-powerful, then why do people suffer? So I think what I want to deal with that in a very basic, practical way tonight, okay? And so just thinking about why do bad things happen, we're going to read quite a bit of Scripture, so get your Bibles out and be ready, because I'm going to be calling on people to read, kind of do a rapid fire on some Scriptures, okay? So if you'd like to read tonight, please be ready. But what it comes down to is that every day people deal with tragedies and sufferings and, you know, maybe some evil act that someone has done or some evil statement someone's made. And probably somebody here tonight, there's something that's happened this week that has really caused some hardship, okay? We can talk about, and it comes in a lot of different ways. You think about financial problems and, you know, and you can say, well, who cares about money? Well, what's the number one cause of divorce? Money. Finances. It's not adultery. It's not domestic violence. It's money. It's money issues, financial issues. And everybody here probably has had their time in their life, maybe it's right now, that you've dealt with financial issues, and it puts a strain and a stress on a marriage and on a home almost like nothing else. I mean, it's a tough thing. And so financial problems are some things people deal with, and sometimes by no fault of their own, maybe some tragedy that, you know, somebody has a car accident or something, or gets sued, and, you know, before you know it, you're, you know, dealing with some major financial issues. Health problems, which everybody here can relate to, as we have our prayer request, you know, especially that's on the forefront of our mind as we do prayer requests here. People are dealing with physical pain, physical issues to varying degrees, whether it's, you know, pains in the body that you keep going with, you know, chronic pain with arthritis or with, you know, whatever it may be. Or it may be something as serious as cancer. You know, we're praying for Gwen Dixon, who has lung cancer, and it's moved to her brain, and we're praying for her, and most likely it's going to be terminal. Now, the question is how much time, but the type of cancer she's dealing with is almost always terminal. And so, you know, to varying degrees, we deal with health problems, relationship problems, marital problems. That's always something going on. And I think that's probably one of the best ministry opportunities for the church is helping people in their marriages, because there's a lot of people who may not want anything to do with the church, but man, when that marriage starts getting rough, they say, well, I've heard people who want nothing to do with Christianity, and they're at their wits' end and just say, will you please talk to me, talk to my wife, mediate, or talk to my husband and mediate something here, because you know it can get rough. Also, parenting. You think about relationship issues, parenting issues, and that goes on into adulthood. You know, as you're dealing with family issues, just in general. But as kids are growing up, you're dealing with teenagers, things like that. You know, sometimes you get lucky, but a lot of times there's rebellion. There's things you have to deal with, and it's a strain. It's stress. It's causes suffering. And so the question definitely comes up, why do bad things happen? Why do bad things happen so often? You watch the news of the night. I mean, you see it in your own life. You see it, and you see it in our community. You watch the news, and it is depressing stuff a lot of times. You watch the national news, it's depressing. You watch the world news, it's depressing. So, I mean, suffering is an issue, okay? Bad things happen. However, having said all that, here's my question. Why does anyone, especially Christians, ever ask that question? Why do bad things happen? Why does that question, why has it ever even come up amongst Christians? Ever. Ever. When you think about reality, when you think about who we are, who God is, the world we live in, and what we know about this world, it's shocking that anyone ever asked that question. My question would be, has anyone who asked that question ever read a Bible verse before? Ever. And what's funny is most people maybe have read the Bible all the way through and they're saying, why are these bad things happening? Well, when you ask that question, it's showing there's a disconnect there, okay? I'll give you some examples. It's my turn to Job 14:1. Who wants to read that for us? We're going to be reading just one verses here. So, who wants to read Job 14:1 for us? Just raise your hand up. Okay, Kenny, you don't care to read that? Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Any takers? Tori. First John chapter 5, verse 19. Any takers? I promise you, I'm not going to give you a genealogy tonight. You don't have to pronounce any big words. No city names, no none of the tough stuff. 1 John 5:19. Okay, Justin, you got it? Proverbs 13:15. This will be the last one for this round. Proverbs 13:15. Pat, if you don't care to read that. I got one for you here in a minute, Dan. You'll like it. Okay, so who had Job 14:1? Kenny? Okay.
Man who is born of a woman is few of days and full of trouble.
Okay. Well, there you go. Man who is born of a woman is few of days and full of trouble. Is that the ESV? Is that what it said?
It's the ESV.
Okay, few days and full of trouble. And you know, but by the way, that's in Job. Now I want to give you a warning. Be careful when you read Job. Because sometimes you can be reading some nonsense that you can say, well, that's what the Bible says. Well, that someone was saying that, but they were wrong. So, and God rebukes them later. So be careful with Job. But I verified Job's the one saying that, and I think that's a true statement that he's making. That man is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Okay? That's how the Bible describes this life. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. You got that, Tori? Read it big and loud. Maybe we'll pick up on this microphone. We'll see.
Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father.
According to, read that part about the world again.
I'll just read the whole thing.
Okay, yeah, go ahead and read the whole thing again. I'm sorry.
Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father.
To deliver us from this, what did it say? Present evil world. We really have a mentality today, and I think that, I don't know where, it's just innate in man. Self-righteousness is in my DNA, okay? It is something innate in man. But I can tell you this, the movement that's kind of happened over the last 40 or 50 years about this self-help movement and self-esteem, everything's about your self-esteem, has not helped matters any. That we think of the world as being a pretty wonderful place. The Bible says it's evil. that Christ came to die on the cross for our sins to deliver us. It took the death of God, the death of Jesus Christ, to deliver us. Not that we're excluded from this. We're part of this world, are we not? To deliver us from this present evil world. The Bible calls this world evil. Okay, I can think of people that would just grit their teeth when you talk about the world. Oh, it's one of those Bible-thumping Christians, you know. Everything's evil. Everything's of the devil, you know. Yeah, it is. 1 John 5:19. Who had that? No, let's see. Pat had Proverbs. Who had 1 John 5:19? Okay, go ahead, Justin. I'm sorry.
And we know that we are God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness.
Read that one more time.
And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness.
That sounds a bit harsh. The whole world lieth in wickedness. That's very similar to what Tori just read, that this present evil world. The Bible, I get the feeling, and by the way, we could read scriptures just about this one topic all night. But I get the feeling the Bible is not real impressed with this world. In fact, the Bible is pretty down on this world. It says it's evil, it's wicked. This world that we live in. The same world that John lived in, the same world that Paul lived in as he wrote Galatians, the same world that Job lives in, is the same world that we live in. And it's evil, it's full of trouble, and it's wicked. That's what the Bible says. The world says otherwise. The world says, generally speaking, it's a pretty wonderful place. There's just some people that keep messing it up. But the Bible says otherwise. The Bible says this world is evil, wicked, and full of trouble. Our life is full of trouble. Proverbs 13:15. Pat, do you care to read that for us?
Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard.
The way of a transgressor is hard. Now, you read that and say, yeah, I mean, I do jail ministry. I see guys every Monday night, every Tuesday, every Thursday. The way of a transgressor is hard. Those guys, they're broken. It's rough. Sitting in there looking at four walls, looking at two other guys in an area about the size of this pew right here. Almost, probably these two pews. Three guys piled in there. The way of a transgressor is hard. Okay? However, you take what Pat just read, the way of a transgressor is hard, and you couple that with Romans 3:23. Somebody quote for me Romans 3:23. Y'all know that? The Roman road. What's Romans 3:23 say? You may know. For all have sinned. Is it 6:23? Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the way of a transgressor is hard. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Guess what? We're all transgressors. Everybody. Raise your hand if you've never transgressed the law of God. To transgress it, I mean, now Grant, I think that what Pat's reading, generally speaking, is someone who really is somebody who likes trouble, a troublemaker, somebody who's looking for trouble. Okay? However, everybody's transgressed. And the thing is, and we'll talk more about this in just a minute, about the differentiation between Christians in this world, because all these texts that Tori just read and Justin just read, is that we're separated from that. Now we are, but we weren't always. We're part of this world, okay? The way we come into this world, naturally speaking, that's why, hey, do you know why I share the gospel with Vacation Bible School kids? These little cute, sweet, innocent kids, their little smiling faces, and I'm telling them about hell and sin. What's wrong with me? They're sinners. And I know that's not popular with mommies when you tell a little 5-year-old, 6-year-old, little boy or girl that they're a sinner, but guess what? They're a sinner. Okay? And we could go into details as how I know for, with no question, besides Romans 3:23, that I know they're sinners. I know they are. We're all conceived in sin. We all come into this same sinful world, and we are born. The sin of Adam is transferred down through the human race. Let me ask you a question. How about an infant? How about just a little baby? Well, they've never consciously sinned. And actually, I think they're under the grace of God. I think the blood of Christ is applied to them sovereignly by Jesus Christ. However, is a little baby affected by sin? Has a little baby ever died? It's affected by sin. The wages of sin is death. If children were unaffected, if babies, infants were unaffected by sin, they wouldn't die. But they do. Because all the entire human race has been infected with sin. There's a reason why Jesus had to be virgin born. Because it comes to the seed of man, which all of us have a father. Every one of us has an earthly father. Every person who's ever lived has an earthly father, with two exceptions: Adam and Eve, to some extent there, and Jesus Christ. Everyone else has had an earthly father, and the sin of Adam and Eve from the fall on, that sin has been passed down. That corruption has been passed down throughout the human race, and everyone's infected by it. Everyone's a transgressor. Okay? When we think about this, going all the way back to the original sin in the garden, as a human race, as sons of Adam, daughters of Adam, we as humanity, we ate of the tree of the garden, ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden. What did God say would happen if we ate of the tree? We shall surely die. So guess what? We die. So when I think about, anybody here dealing with some physical pain tonight? Probably most of our folks here are. I'm not surprised that this body, there's exceptions to this, but generally speaking, after about the age of 40, what starts happening to this body? It starts going downhill, doesn't it? Jeannie's getting close to that. I'm just kidding. I'm going to get beat up. I'm getting close to it too. I'm 33. Right now, I'll be honest with you, tonight, I'm not feeling any pain right now. I'm not. I thank God for it. Right now, I feel good. Back feels good. Knees feel good. Shoulders feel good. But guess what? It's coming. Now, well, maybe I'll be the exception. I will not be the exception. My body will break down. And it could happen suddenly in a car accident. It could just be destroyed. It may just be damaged so bad that it can no longer continue to function, or it may happen gradually over time. But it will happen. You know why it will happen? Because when God said, "Thou shalt surely die," that's the truth. I will die. This body is going to wear down, decay, and ultimately, eventually, it will no longer be able to function, and I'm going to die. Charlie Fry died last Wednesday. His body just wore out. His kidneys shut down. His liver shut down. And it's not that Charlie, well, he must be a bad sinner and we're all doing pretty good because we're still alive. Not at all. But was Charlie affected by the fall? You better believe it. And eventually that liver goes, those kidneys go, the back goes, the knees go, the hips go, the shoulders go, the heart goes, the lung goes, and we go. Okay? Here's the thing. When I get older, and maybe it could happen tomorrow. I could wake up tomorrow and go from being in good health, feeling good. I may never feel good again. Feel this good again after tomorrow. It could happen at any time. But I want to tell you something. As I get older, this body begins to break down. I'm not going to like it. And it's going to hurt, but I'm not going to be surprised by it. Of course my body's breaking down. Is the Bible true? Then my body's going to break down. And so as I'm going through suffering, yeah, it's going to be terrible, and I may not even be able to imagine how terrible it will be, but I'm never going to say, why is this happening? Why is this body failing me? Folks, I know exactly why this body's failing me. Sin! Sin is why my body's failing me. This world is sinful and broken, and your bodies are going to fail you, and they're going to fail me. And you know what? When we come together like this, and people, their body's failing them, and it's starting to... James, tonight, his leg is... He's probably in pain right now in his leg, if not in his back and other places. Let's pray for James. We need to be praying for each other, lifting each other up as we are dealing with suffering, physical suffering. Pray for each other. I pray for the backs of the people in this church. I know there's a lot of people in this church who have back issues. I pray for that. And we should pray for that. Sickness is a big deal to God, and God will help sustain us through that. But understand, this body will break down. Okay? So don't be surprised. You know, sometimes I'm shocked, kind of going a little bit further with this. I'm shocked sometimes, because we get the idea that this world's a pretty good place. We also get the idea that man is inherently good. Man generally is good. Yeah, there's some bad apples, but you know, the bushel's pretty good. Mankind is good. That's not what the Bible says at all. You know, there's this interesting statement where Jesus, the crowds are following Jesus, And he withdraws from him. He's not real impressed with the crowds following him. Do you know why? He says he did not commit himself unto man. As these men, as these people were coming to, flocking to him, he did not commit himself to them. He focused on 12 guys primarily, with a few others outside of that, kind of an outer circle there, with guys, people like Lazarus and Mary and Martha and others that he associated with. But by and large, Christ had very little to do with the big crowds. He would teach them, but he didn't have a lot to do with them. You know why? The Bible said he would not commit himself to men because he knew what was in man. He knew what was in him. Now, this is not popular. Nobody wants to hear this, but it's the truth. I'm shocked. When you really think about it, when you think about exactly what the Bible reveals about us and about our nature, it's shocking how similar we are to demons. I want you to think about that for just a minute. How similar mankind is to demons. A special creation of God, eternal, spiritual, that rebelled against God, sinned against God, and was corrupted and turned evil. That right there describes mankind, and that describes demons. That describes the devil. It doesn't describe a squirrel. It doesn't describe a deer. It doesn't describe a primate, an ape. It doesn't describe a planet. It doesn't describe a sun or a moon. Or a tree, it describes mankind and it describes demons. It's amazing the similarities that we share. Really, the only difference, the biggest difference between us and the demonic forces of this world is that God sovereignly and lovingly chose to make a plan of redemption for us and not for them. That is the only difference. And probably if you look at it on face value and you understand that we're made a little bit lower than the angels, and there's some reasons. Kenny can probably go into a lot more detail about this, or Justin, or several of the others. Not more detail than this. There's other reasons why God chose to do what He did, I think, that factored into this decision. But all things considered, He probably should have redeemed fallen angels instead of fallen man. Fallen angels are better than fallen men. They're higher. They're a higher order of being than mankind. Man was made a little lower than the angels. When Christ took on humanity, He was made a little lower than the angels. Those demons, that is, their inherent essence is higher, is a higher order than that of man. But God chose to go right past them sovereignly to make a plan of redemption to reach down to man instead of those demonic spirits. He didn't have to do that. He did not redeem the angels who did not keep their first faith, the angels that sinned against him. There's no plan of redemption for the devil or for the demons, and there did not have to be for us. He could have stopped right there. I've said this before, the Bible could be 3 chapters long. Dead, stop, done. But it's not. Because God loves us, because God is gracious, not because of us, but because of God. Because God is so gracious and merciful and mighty and forgiving and long-suffering and loving that He is willing to reach down to us to redeem us, to give us an opportunity to be saved. Okay? It's also amazing to me the similarities between this world and the conception, the typical conception of hell. I want you to think about this. What realm is Satan the ruler over? What would most people say if you ask them that? What realm does he lord over? What realm is he the lord and the overseer over?
Hell.
What realm has a large number of demons working in it or existing within it? Hell. And there are demons in hell. But there's also demons in this world. I don't know how the percentage breaks up, but there's a lot of demons that are active in this world that are not in hell. Okay? And actually, you know what? Would you like to guess how many seconds Satan has spent in hell? Zero. Satan has spent as much time in hell as you have. He's never been in hell. Am I mistaken on that?
Yes.
Anybody else? Not yet. Has Satan ever been in hell yet? He's not. I mean, you talk about a misconception. Satan's realm, Satan's kingdom is this world. I kind of want you to imagine in your mind, imagine if there was a planet somewhere in this universe in which demons dwelt there. It was the demonic planet. All demons ran by Satan. What kind of place do you think that would be? It's the earth! Do you understand that's the earth? There are demons everywhere working in this earth. Jesus Christ was one of the most common miracles He performed was casting down a demon. He goes to one guy in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago and says, "Tell me your name," and what does he say? "Legion, for we are many." Now a legion, how much was a legion, a Roman legion? Y'all know? Was it 1,000? I can't remember. 10,000?
Maybe
4,000, something like that. I mean, I don't know that there's 4,000 demons in this guy, but there's a reason they use that term. It wasn't two demons. And they say, we're a legion, for we're many. Okay? One guy. There is... And by the way, Brady and Tori may be able to tell you some stories on this. Justin's seen some of it. Me and Janice seen some of it. Over in India, I sit up here at Blount County Jail all the time. I saw it Monday night in strong force. I swear, I know there is one guy there that is demonically possessed. If my name is Jordan Davis, he's demonically possessed. I know he is. He hates the gospel. He screams and spits and kicks the door profanely every time he hears me sharing the gospel, unless he's asleep. He hates the gospel. He says nothing to guards. He cannot bear to hear the name Jesus. And he cusses and screams when he hears it. He is demonically possessed. And I'm a Baptist. Anyway. Yes?
Legion, the basic unit of the Roman army. Theoretically, a legion was comprised of 6,000 men.
We're all wrong. Great. 6,000 men. Thank you, Dan. Man, that's good. All right. Got a good man, that's a pew Bible. All right. Man, good deal. 6,000. Legion, for we are many. 6,000. How many swine? How many swine died whenever they... 2,000? And by the way, there's something so interesting about that, and I don't want to spend too much time on it. The conversation, they said, don't cast this into the deep. Do you know what that meant? You know what we know from that story? Those demons were not in hell, and they weren't in hell after the encounter. They went into the swine and they went into the sea. Where did they go from there? I'm not sure, but I know they did not go into the deep, which I think is a reference to hell. Jesus could have, but He chose not to, bind them in chains and everlasting chains to reserve them until the day of judgment. To make them inactive and place them in hell. He could have done that with one word, but He didn't. They begged Him and said, do not cast us into the deep, but rather cast us into the swine. And He did so. And it made people mad. Anyway. So those demons... He gets into pretty deep things. I hate to even kind of bring that up. But those demons... outside of something else changing, are still around this world today. And that was dealing with one guy. How many demons deal with people in this world? I don't know, but I think it's a lot. I think it's a whole lot. Okay? And let's look at some scripture real quick. Who else wants... Let's see. John 16, 7 through 11. Any takers on that? John chapter 16, verse 7 through 11. Kenny, okay. Dan, if you would turn to... Ephesians 6, 11 through 13. I've got it especially for you. How about somebody want to read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2? Jeannie, if you don't care. Luke chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. Tori? Job chapter 1, verse 6 through 7. Okay, Justin. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter 5, 8. Brady? Got two more. Matthew 17, 14 through 18. It's a little bit of a long one. Pat, if you don't care. Matthew 17, 14 through 18. And then last of all, Luke 13, 10 through 17. I told you we're going to get a lot of scripture tonight. Actually, I'll turn to Luke. I'll read the one in Luke. That's a long one. I'll read that. Okay. We'll go through these pretty quickly. Let's see. I have no idea who I assigned what. So,
John
16. Okay, if you want to go ahead and read that for us, Ken.
Okay, verses 7 through 11.
Okay.
Nevertheless, I tell you the truth.
It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged.
The ruler of this world is judged. Who's that?
Satan.
The ruler. Hey, Jesus. That's Jesus Christ. He's getting ready to go to the cross, and he said, I'm going, the Holy Spirit is going to return. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to go away to go back to the Father. The Holy Spirit's going to come. And one of the reasons that's going to happen is because the ruler of this world is judged. Jesus is affirming Satan is the ruler of this world. Ephesians 2, 2, who had that? Okay, yeah, Jeannie. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2.
Wherein in time past we walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.
The prince and the power of the air. That's an interesting term, and that's once again referring to Satan. The prince and the power of the air. Luke chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. Who had that? Tori?
And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.
Okay. It's so fascinating. I love what Jesus says there and how he just keeps, just hitting Satan with Scripture. It all comes down to Deuteronomy. Jesus quotes Moses. That's the power of the Bible. He could have said anything he wanted to, but he goes to Scripture. He quotes what Moses penned. That is how much the Word of God is the Word of God. I love what he says, but think about what he doesn't say. He never says to Satan, who do you think you are? You think you can give me the kingdoms of this world? Those are my Father. They're not yours. He does not say that. Satan makes a claim and says, the kingdoms of the world are mine, and I'll give them to whoever I will. By the way, somebody's going to get them one day. We talked about that up here at the pavilion last Thursday about eschatology and about the end times. One day, a man's going to get them. It's going to be the Antichrist. It'll be the opposite of Jesus. But I think Satan has the power to give those things because he's the ruler of this world. He really is. Okay? Does that begin to put in perspective what we're talking about tonight? A few more scriptures here. Job chapter 1, 6 through 7. You got that, Justin?
Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Satan came also among them. And the Lord said to Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it.
Okay. So God's, that's all these scriptures, does that really provoke some thought? It's like, wait a minute, what do you mean? Satan's presenting himself before God? So not only has Satan never seen a day in hell, he still has some access somewhere else, doesn't he? Where's that? Heaven. Because there's a point in Revelation in the future yet to come when he is cast down. He's been cast down once before to this earth. Jesus Christ witnessed it as a bolt of light. I saw Satan cast to the earth. Past tense. In the future, in the book of Revelation, Satan will be cast down again. He'll be kicked out. And it says, woe unto the world because he knows his time is short. He's kicked out of heaven. He loses that access. Is this not totally different from what you kind of grow up thinking? It is so different. Now, I want you to couple what Justin just said about that Satan tells God, I've been going to and fro, up and down in the earth. Now, that sounds pretty benign, pretty passive. Who's got 1 Peter 5, 8? This is what he's doing. Listen to what Brady reads right here.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour.
You hear that? And listen to what Peter's saying. You better be vigilant, be sober-minded. Not just don't get drunk, don't get distracted by anything. Watch every step that you take. You've got an adversary who goes about to and fro like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And by the way, he has control over this world. If it wasn't for the restraining sovereign hand of God, I think everybody in this room would be dead right now. He hates you. He absolutely hates me and you. I promise you that. Ephesians chapter 6, Dan, you care to read that? I thought of you immediately. This tells us about our battle. What we're warring against as Christians. You know, you think you're dealing with some jerk at work or somebody just, you know, a smart aleck, somebody cuts you off in traffic, flips you off. You think, man, you know, I'm going to do something with this guy. There's more to it than what you see. Some guy cussing me out at the jail, kicking the door, spitting, screaming. Yeah, he may have some mental issues, but there's more to it than that, I promise you. And this scripture right here affirms it, confirms it. Go ahead, Dan.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickednesses in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Amen. So, you understand what Paul's saying there in Ephesians? He's saying, you think it's flesh and blood. And he's saying, he is dispelling that myth or that misconception. You think it, he said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Paul realized it wasn't Nero, it wasn't the Jews, it wasn't Agrippa or Felix or these people that were persecuting him and coming after him. That's not who he was up against. He was up against spiritual wickedness in high places. He knew there were influences driving those things, and those men were culpable in that. They're taking part in it, they're doing their part, but there's more to it than what meets the eye, okay? And we've got to be on guard, just like what Brady read. Be vigilant, be sober-minded, because that's going on all the time. Okay, Matthew 17:14-18. Pat, did you have that?
And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me.
Okay. Now this is where it changes complexion, because you think, man, Satan's after us, so maybe somebody might try to kill you, or there might be some kind of violence coming your way. What Pat just read, I'm going to read one more scripture as quickly as I can. I want to try to finish as close as we can do on time. What Pat just read, it sounds like this young man is showing symptoms of a sickness, an illness. It almost sounds like epilepsy. But it's a devil, it's a demon. Now, is that saying that everyone has epilepsy has a demon? No. Some people have gone to that conclusion. I don't think Bridget Cox has a demon because she has epilepsy. I'm not saying she doesn't, but I'm saying it's not because she has epilepsy. Anyway, I had epilepsy as a kid. I don't think it was demonic. I think you can have a real physical illness and an issue, a neurological issue that causes that. However, here's what I do know based on what Pat just read. And there's another scripture I could read. I won't read it because we're kind of running out of time. It's talking about a lady that's been over and Christ heals her. And then he says something interesting. He ascribes that sickness. She's been that way for 18 years. And he says, you know, if your ox, because they get on him because he does it on the Sabbath, he heals this woman on the Sabbath, she raises up, she straightens her back up. You've seen people in foreign countries today who are bent over like that. They're so arthritic, they cannot bend over higher than this. I've seen ladies like that, prayed with ladies like that. I think about that scripture when I do it. And I don't think that's always satanic or that's always demonic, but it is this time and it can be at other times. I think demons can cause physical sickness. I believe that. Okay, I think it's all under God's sovereign hand, but that can happen. Because Christ heals her on the Sabbath day and everybody gets mad and upset about it. And he says, how many of you having an ox that falls into a ditch will not on the Sabbath day pull it out? Everybody will. And he says, this woman, this lady who is a daughter of Abraham, is she not worth more than an ox? And that Satan has bound her, lo, these many years. He ascribes it to Satan. And he looses her and she raises up. Okay? So, there's only one more scripture I'm going to read tonight. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm going to read this in just a minute. This is kind of just a closing remark for us. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. 1 Peter 4:12. I'll ask everybody to turn there. That's going to be the last scripture we're going to look at. 1 Peter 4:12. But as you're turning there, given these scriptures, I'm going to ask this question again and tell me how this hits you. Why do bad things happen? Is that question? Think about that question now in light of everything that we've read. Of course bad things happen. There's no surprise whatsoever. The question, if anything, is why don't more bad things happen? That's the miracle. Do you realize that in Knoxville, 185,000 people live in Knoxville. Do you know how many murders happen in Knoxville per year? Somebody throw in a guess. You know what their average murder rate is, roughly? That's scary. It's 25. Hit the nail right on the head. Do you know that's a very, very high murder rate? That it actually, Knoxville is in the lower 2 percentile, the lower. 98% of cities in the United States are safer to live to not get murdered or victimized in a violent crime than Knoxville. I didn't know that.
Every 2 weeks, about?
Yeah, 25. There you go. Every 2 weeks. So
the
that's.
The national average is less than 10 per 100,000.
Okay. And I think Knoxville's. I can't do that math that quick. But anyway.
It'd be
less than two people if it was one for every 100,000. Because 185,000 citizens. But I want you to think about that. 185,000 people, 25, and that's a high rate, get murdered per year. I can't believe it's not 25,000. We're a bunch of demonic, evil, corrupted sinners. If it wasn't for police forces. Now that's where it'd get interesting. I'll guarantee you it wouldn't be 25. It would be much, much, much higher. Because the government does what the government was designed by God to do, which is restrain evil. And it does. I tell you what, if you didn't serve 30 years to life for a first-degree murder, boy, it'd be a whole lot higher. And you just let anarchy. I saw a girl the other night. Man, I don't spend so much time on this, but I saw this girl the other night wearing a belt that said anarchy on it. I thought, you don't know what you're asking for, especially as a female. That shows being very naive. You think you want anarchy, young lady? You're crazy. You have no earthly idea what's on your belt. If we ever had a time of anarchy, it would be unbelievable. You let civil disorder take over. You see what happened to these other countries? Places where there's been revolutions. It is unbelievable what man is capable of. With children, with women being abused and murdered. Everybody that's weak, it is survival of the fittest, just like that. It's not because of evolution, it's because of sin and corruption. And it gets very bad. The history of mankind is a history of violence and war, period. A history of mankind, a history of war, it's the same thing. No one has ever experienced a time of peace like you and I are experiencing tonight in America. It's unreal that I have no fear of someone blowing me up on the way home with a bomb. That's a small, tiny, baby minority compared to the rest of this world today and throughout the history of mankind as far as the fear of violent aggression, even to the point of death, okay? You know how many people are murdered per year in America? In the entire United States of America. And it's a very high rate compared to the rest of the world. You know how many people are murdered in America every year, homicide? There's 300 million citizens. So what do you think? Might throw in a number.
4,000.
Higher.
30,000.
30,000? Lower. It's 15,000. 15,000 people a year are killed in America. Only 15,000 people are murdered every year in America? That's shocking to me. You know there's more guns in America than there are people? And only 15,000 people get murdered a year? In light of everything we've discussed, hey, listen. Only 50% of marriages end in divorce. I figured they all did. It's unbelievable. Anybody stays married. It's a bunch of sinners. It's two sinners who have coveted to make this covenant with one another, to love one another, to put the other's needs ahead of their own. I can't believe anybody stays married. 3% of our population is gay. Only 3%. That's shocking to me. Only 3% of Americans would identify themselves as gay, lesbian, or bisexual, or transgender. I wonder what was in Sodom and Gomorrah. But it's a lot higher than that. A lot higher. Only 3%. Only 2 million people are in jail out of 300 million in America. It could be a lot higher than that. I say these things only. When you think about this world is, who's it? Satan's in charge of this world. Satan is over America. He is. That's exactly what the Scripture says. He is the prince and the ruler of this world, and that includes America. Okay? It's shocking when you think about this, when we think about the question, why do bad things happen? I cannot believe more bad things don't happen than they do. Okay? But I want to read one scripture here, 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm going to close with this. 12 through 13. And this is exactly what we're talking about tonight. Listen to what Peter says. And he understood a violent world. He lived in the Roman Empire where at any time the Romans could come in and crack down, he's going to be violently executed and crucified. That's how he goes out of this world, the person who's writing this. Listen to what he says in verse 12 of chapter 4, 1 Peter. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. If you're here tonight and things aren't going all that great, I understand. Hey, I'm not downplaying. It's hard. Suffering is hard, okay? There are trials. There are things that, I mean, stress you out. Tensions and anxieties and things like that. That physical pain. There's people in this room who have experienced physical pain that I can't even imagine. Chronically, day after day. But folks, don't be surprised when that happens. Don't be surprised if this is some kind of strange thing that this is happening. It's the world we live in. But listen to what Peter says next. Verse 13. But rejoice, insomuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Because that's our hope. Let me say this tonight. This is as close to hell as I'll ever be. I'm as close right now as I'll ever be. I'm going to heaven. It's all uphill in a good way from here. It's going to get better and better and better from here, because this is as close as I'm going to get to a place called hell. I've been redeemed. I'm different from this world, and I'm on my way right now as we speak. I'm on my way to heaven, and I really mean that. You caught me on my journey. You've caught me on my way there, and I'm going to serve the Lord every day, and I'm going to rejoice because I live in a satanic world. And you know what? I have a wife who loves me. I've got kids. I've got a great church. I've got a great family. I've got some great co-workers, some friends. And I'm living in a satanically controlled world. That is so much grace. You know, I'm able to stand vertically right now. Satan has not forced through that hedge and not forced through, but has not continually come before God accusing me, trying to get me to break my back, literally. And God has said, no, He'll have a straight back. His back will be able to hold up for now. It may change later on. But God's given me, I'm here tonight, I'm free from pain. God has been unbelievably gracious. I can smile. We all got a sunny day today. In a satanically controlled world, a demonically infested, Satan-controlled world, the sun's shining on us. We're full of atheists. There's atheists everywhere, and they got a sunny day too. That shows the grace of God. And folks, we have a lot to be thankful for. Even when things are hard, we have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot of reason to rejoice and to have joy. Christ told us this. In this world, you will have tribulation. It is a set thing. You will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. That's the greatest promise we could ever have. And I mean, and so, when bad things happen, listen, we have some knowledge. We're not like children of darkness. We don't wander around blind and in the darkness. We're children of the light. I know exactly why bad things happen. I know exactly why I may get killed in India. What? 3 weeks. Sorry, guys. I may get killed. Let me cut my head off. I don't know. I'm not going to be surprised if they do. They worship demons all the time. They worship demons. They've been worshiping demons for centuries. I'm not going to be there and tell them about Jesus. It may not go well, you know. And Satan has some control over that. And in fact, I will die if God doesn't preserve me. And He may choose not to. My time may be up. And you know what? That's fine. I got to die some way. Amen. You got to go out of this world some way. Hey, listen. You ever been in a nursing home? I'll take my head getting cut off any day. Or wasting away like that. I've seen some people really suffering. Really suffering. You know what? If that's God's plan for me and path for me, then I hope I can suffer with joy and a peace in my heart that I'm going to go see the Lord when I die. I don't know how I'm going to leave this place. It's up to God. It's in His sovereign hands. But I'm going to do the best I can to live for Him every day that I can here, because I'm going to have all eternity with God. I've only got a little bit of time here to deal with sinners. I'm going to do it the most I can, the best I can, until God calls me home. And I'm not, as we talk about some on Sunday morning, I'm going to tuck my lip in, you know? I mean, things are going pretty well considering. Things are going pretty well. So, anyway, There's absolutely no time for comments. Sorry. I know, and there's probably tons of comments. So maybe we can discuss this a little bit more next Wednesday night. But I mean, it's a lot of stuff to think about. But I'll tell you what, man, God's good to us. He really is. And I was a rebel. I was a sinner against God as much as Satan ever dreamed of being. And God forgave me and loves me. He's willing to come to heaven, come though to be in heaven with Him forever, free from sin, free from temptation, free from suffering, and no crying, all tears can be wiped away. And that's a blessing. So, man, anyway, I hope what we're talking about tonight, though, I hope it gives you a little bit different perspective on this world, on life. Folks, bad things are going to happen. They're going to happen. We live in a sinful, fallen, broken, satanically controlled, demonically infested world. But God's still good to us. He loves us. He shows us grace. He's given us His Word. He's given us redemption. And we have a reason to rejoice. Okay? So, Justin, do you care to close us in a word of prayer as we wrap up tonight? And if you want to talk, if you have anything you want to discuss or talk to me about, I'll hang around afterwards. I know we're a little bit past our time, but man, this is important stuff. This is very important stuff for us to be talking about. So hopefully it's been an encouragement to you. Go ahead, Justin.
We just thank you.